Many thanks to Colin for again leading the service, and also to Denver and Lynn for the singing. That was good singing, that's the gospel. So praise the Lord, we've got off to a good start. Somebody said to me coming in tonight, is your throat any better? Well, I says, it's no worse anyway. But by the time I'm finished, it might be worse, I can tell you that. But it's good to be here. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what we have heard. We thank you, Lord, for the cross, for the precious blood of the Savior. We thank you for the salvation that's ours tonight through Christ. And we thank you that you have promised to bless the proclamation of the glorious gospel. We pray for each one gathered here tonight, O God, and Lord, you see our hearts, you know who we are and where we're from, all about us. God, we pray that you would search every heart. And we ask, oh God, that not one would leave this service this evening without coming to know the Savior, whom to know is life eternal. So bless your word just now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to read tonight from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And we read at verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Sometimes I meet people, and they say to me, you know, sometimes the word of God can be very boring. Sometimes there's all these big chapters with all these different names and all the rest of them. Well, I don't find it boring. I used to find it boring before I got saved, but I certainly never have found it boring since I got saved. And the Acts of the Apostles is one of those books that's filled with action. It's a book that's action-filled. There's always something happening as we turn from chapter to chapter. You'll find there's many great stories in the book. Remember, chapter 1 begins with Christ's ascension. As he was speaking to his followers, you remember how he ascended up into heaven. And two men in white stood by, and they said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. When we come to chapter 2, well, that's one of the great chapters, isn't it? Because there, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. My, what a day that was when the Holy Ghost came. And that chapter, Peter preached that great sermon when 3,000 souls were saved. My, what a meeting that was. 3,000 of them came to Christ. Someone said years ago that when Peter preached, 3,000 souls were saved. And he said, you know, you would need to preach now 3,000 sermons to see one soul saved. My dear friends, oh, that God would visit us again by his Spirit, that we might see people getting saved in the meetings, that we might see many coming to the Lord. We find that when we read on in chapter 3, we have the man that was lame at the beautiful gate when Peter and John went up, and how he was able to walk. And then you have the early chapters of the early church, the early church coming into being. We find Stephen, the story of Stephen in chapter 6 and 7, when Stephen became the first martyr, when he took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, a man stood by, and they laid their clothes at a man's feet called Saul of Tarsus. And what a moment that was when his very own people stoned him. And this man was the first martyr in the church. Of course, chapter 9, you have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. Chapter 8, we come to tonight. Just want to spend a little time here in chapter 8. And it's a chapter that's full of activity. In the chapter, we have the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And it's one of the great stories in the book. The story proves to us that salvation is of the Lord. My dear friends, we find God working in the heart of his servant Philip and leading him to the right place at the right time. And we find God working in the heart of the sinner and preparing his heart, and so that they both gel together. The heart of the servant was prepared of God, and the heart of the sinner, the Ethiopian eunuch, was prepared by God. So God works at both ends. In the story, we have the sovereignty of God, we have the submissiveness of the servant, and we have the simplicity of salvation. Three good headings. Now, I'm not going to preach on those three headings tonight, but you know what preachers are? They get little tidbits here and there, and we see those things in this story. The sovereignty of God, the submissiveness of the servant, and the simplicity of salvation. But as we look at the story, we see three men. There's Philip, there's the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, and then we find that there's Jesus, because we find that Philip spoke unto this man Jesus. And I want to think tonight about Philip, a man on a mission. The eunuch, a man on a journey. And Jesus, a man on a tree. So we're going to look tonight, first of all, at Philip, a man on a mission. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead before his ascension, he spoke to his followers in Mark chapter 16, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's where they were to go. That's what they were to do. And that's to whom they were to preach. As the Acts of the Apostles opens, we see this great commission being fulfilled by Christ's followers. And when we come to this chapter, we find Philip going down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. If you look up at the beginning of the chapter that we didn't read, in verse 5 it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. My, he was obeying the Lord's command. He was fulfilling the Lord's commission. And the next verse says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In the midst of the blessing, the Lord speaks to Philip about going down to a desert place. In verse 26, I preached Christ unto the multitudes in Samaria, and a great many came to the Lord. And then it says in verse 26 that the angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. The Lord was bringing his servant to speak to this man from Ethiopia. He wasn't bringing Philip to speak about general issues or personal problems. He was bringing Philip to this desert place to share the gospel with this man. And you know, when Philip came to the city, my, he preached Christ unto them. That's what it says, isn't it? Came to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. I believe when he preached Christ unto them, he preached about the Christ who came, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I believe that when he came to Samaria, he not only preached about the Christ who came, but he preached about the Christ who lived a perfect life, a spotless life, a holy life, the spotless Lamb of God. And I believe as he preached Christ in Samaria, he preached about the Christ who died, the Christ who went to Calvary and gave his life and shed his blood and died for poor, lost sinners. And I believe that Philip, my, he preached about the Christ who rose again in triumph and in victory. And he preached about the Christ who had power to save, a Christ who was able to save people, to save their souls, to cleanse them from their sin, to give them life that they never had before. That's what Philip preached. That was the message that Philip preached in Samaria. And when he came to this man in the desert, he preached the very same message. He preached Christ unto this man in the desert, as we shall see in a moment. You see, friends, Philip was a man on a mission. Whether it was in the city or in the desert, whether it was to a multitude of people or to one man, the message was the same. And I want to tell you tonight that the message is always the same. The message doesn't change. The surroundings may change. The crowd may change. The number of the crowd may vary. But the message is always the same. When I go out on Sunday night, whether it's to Belfast or to Lurgan or to Banbridge or to Lisburn, the message is always the same. And it's so sad in these days, the many places there are across our land where they've closed the gospel service down. My dear friends, this was a man on a mission. And this is the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ today, to spread the gospel, to tell people about a Savior. My, in these days of bad news, it's great that we're able to proclaim good news, that there's a Savior who's able to save them and save poor sinners to the very uttermost. So we see here, first of all, a man on a mission. A man on a mission. And then it says this in verse 27, and he arose and went Notice that Philip didn't argue with the Lord. Probably, if it had been me or you, would have said, Lord, what are you bringing me away from Samaria for? There's multitudes getting saved here. We're having revival services here, and you're taking me away down to a desert. But Philip didn't argue. It says he arose and went, and a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So that brings us to our second man, and that's a man on a journey. Philip, a man on a mission. The eunuch, a man on a journey. And as we look at this man called the Ethiopian eunuch for a moment, we see that he was a special man. He's a special man. You know, he had a special position. He would have been the equivalent, today's equivalent, of a modern day Chancellor of the Exchequer. He was a government minister, so it's unlikely that he would have been traveling on his own. Probably there'd have been a whole caravan of wagons with him, bodyguards and this, that, and the other thing. But he was a special man. He had a special place as a government minister. He was a sincere man. It says he had come to Jerusalem to worship. His home was located in the south of Egypt. Since he was a eunuch, he could not become a full Jewish proselyte, but he was permitted to become a God-fearer or a proselyte of the gate. And he was concerned enough about his spiritual life to travel 200 miles to Jerusalem to seek after God and to worship God. Here's a man, and he had a great position, and he had a place of power, and he had so many things going for him. But my dear friends, there was a dissatisfaction in his life. He was a special man. He was a sincere man, and he was a seeking man. This man, I believe, was seeking for truth. I believe he had an emptiness in his soul, and he longed for that emptiness to be filled. Yes, he was a man who was religious, a man who read the scriptures, a man who believed in God, but he was a man who was not saved, a man who was not saved. And you know, friends, I know many people like that today. And I'm sure maybe many of you do as well. Yes, this man, I was able to travel for hundreds of miles to try to find what he was looking for. And maybe you're here tonight in this meeting and you're seeking after something that as yet you haven't found. There's something missing in your life that the world has failed to give you, that wealth has failed to give you, that religion has failed to give you. I believe that there's many seeking souls today. Maybe there's one or two in here this evening. You see, friends, many people are like this man. They're on the journey of life. We're all on the journey of life tonight. And as people journey through life, they're religious. They may read the scriptures and seek for peace and satisfaction, but they cannot find these things in the world or anywhere else. And then the story goes on, and it says, then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. This is where the story becomes interesting. And it says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, it's at this point that the Spirit guided Philip to this man's chariot. And it's evident that God was working in the whole thing. And we find that God's timing was absolutely perfect as we read these verses. Because as God guides Philip to this man's chariot, he's reading from Isaiah 53. He's reading a portion of Scripture, which is probably the best portion of Scripture he could have been reading if he wants to lead this man to Jesus Christ. Because remember, all they had then was the scrolls, and Isaiah 53 is one of the greatest prophecies about the coming Messiah that was ever written. And Philip says to him, he says in verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Should have said before that, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He's reading from Isaiah 53, that great chapter. I'm sure many of you know it off by heart. And the eunuch invites him up, and he says to Philip, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And that just shows you how blind he was. He says, is the prophet speaking about himself here in these verses? Or is it some other man? Oh, what a question. I couldn't have been reading from a better portion, and he couldn't have asked a better question. Of whom speaketh the prophet as of himself or of some other man? And it says, and Philip began and opened his mouth from the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. My dear friends, what a moment that was. We see here my Philip beginning to speak to this man about the person that we find the Spirit of God speaking about in Isaiah 53. So here we have a man on a mission, a man on a journey. And Philip begins to speak to him about a man who hung on a tree, began to speak unto him Jesus. My dear friends, Isaiah points out in this chapter, that the one in the chapter was the Lamb of God. You know, the theme of the Lamb is right throughout the Bible, right from Genesis. You see the Lamb typified in Abel's lamb. We see the Lamb prophesied when Abram said to his son, God himself shall provide himself a lamb. Then we see the Lamb, personified here in Isaiah 53, because this is the first time in the Word of God that we see that God's Lamb was to be a man. We see the Lamb identified in John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. And we see the Lamb crucified, in the Gospels. And when we get to glory, we'll see the Lamb glorified. The Bible's all about the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb from Genesis to Revelation. And we find that Philip uses this passage to preach to this man and to tell him that Jesus Christ is the answer to his need, that Jesus Christ is the one that he needs, the one that can do for him what no one else can do for him, the one that can save him, the one that can make him clean. He reads from Isaiah 53. You know, when you go back there in Isaiah 53, what a mighty chapter it is. It says here, the passage he read was this: he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. The sheep before shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Taken from prison and from judgment, who shall declare his generation? And so it goes on. You see, as he preached unto him Jesus, he pointed out that Christ was the submissive Lamb of God. He was the submissive Lamb of God. It says here in verse 7, he opened not his mouth. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. That phrase, he opened not his mouth, is twice in the one verse. Twice in the one verse. And he's pointing out to this man. He's pointing out to him that there was one who was willing to come for him. There was one who loved him so much that he was willing to lay his glory aside and veil himself in human flesh, and that he was willing to come. Philip told this man about God's great love for him, and how he was willing in the person of his son to come into the world to be his savior. What a message Philip preached that day to this man in the desert as he traveled in his chariot. I believe that he pointed out that Christ was the submissive lamb. And I'm sure he pointed out that Christ was the suffering lamb. It says he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. You know, that word slaughter brings with it the thought of a violent death. A violent death. I remember as a wee fella when they used to bring the cattle and the lorries to take them down to the slaughterhouse, past our house. And you know, friends, I think of those animals being led to the slaughter. And you know, the Lord Jesus, the prophet says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. When we think of the violence of Calvary, when we think of the scourging of his back and ripping his back into furrows, when we think of those long eastern thorns that was woven into a crown and crushed down upon the Savior's brow, when we think of the spittles, when we think of the buffeting, when we think of the nails being hammered into his hands and into his feet, when we think of the cross being erected and plunged down into its sockets. My dear friends, that's what the Son of God was willing to go through to save you and to save me. Because you see, he was not only Jesus, the submissive Lamb of God and the suffering Lamb of God, but bless God, he was the substitutionary Lamb of God. This Isaiah 53, there's a mighty bit in it where it says here, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted of grief, yet we did hide our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Man looked on Christ, and many of them thought he was being put to death for sins that he had done. But the prophet comes in like a flash here, and he says this: but he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of his peace was laid upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And when you come to Calvary and you survey the wondrous cross and see the figure and the matted beard and the hair drenched in blood and sweat and spittles. And when you think of the depths and the darkness that he went down into, just remember this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Was my transgressions put on her, my sins? Wasn't anything that he was guilty of, but he willingly came as the submissive Lamb of God and took my place and took my sins and bore my punishment and paid my debt. My Philip preached Jesus to this man. And he went on to show him, I believe, that he was the saving lamb, because it tells us here, he shall see of the travail of a soul and shall be satisfied. You know, friends, on the cross, the Son of God died for my sins and shed his blood to save me. God wasn't judging him for his own sins. No, God's righteous judgment fell on him for me. And this man on a mission spoke of this man to this man on a journey and told him how his sins could be forgiven and how he could have peace with God by calling on a man called Jesus, who died on a cross to save him. You know, friends, the message Philip preached in this city and the message he preached to the eunuch in the desert is the same message we preach today. It's the same message we preach tonight. Jesus Christ is our message. He's the theme. He's the heart of the gospel. He's the one that's sufficient. And as they go along, and I'm almost finished now, the man says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Philip was pointing out that this is not baptism or water or anything else that saves people. Dear friends, it's not baptism that saves people. Not anything else that saves you. It's not an affiliation with a church that saves you. He says, if thou believest, thou mayest. We need to believe. The belief comes first. And the man says, I believe. Dear friends, we're saved by trusting Christ as our own personal Savior. I remember as a young fellow of 18 years of age, coming home one Friday night convicted of my sin and my state. I'd heard the gospel. I knew that God's Son loved me and died at Calvary to save me. And I was passing by, as I walked along the road, a mission hall, and on the text board at the mission hall of the mission hall, they had this text up from Acts chapter 16, 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that night I went home and I believed. Yes, when my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered and I was born of God. I believe that he died for me. I believe that there he paid for my sins. I believe that there he shed his blood to cleanse my soul. I believed that there he would keep his word. And there, friends, I believe. This book says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Dear friend, tonight, have you believed? Have you believed? Yes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May you come tonight. If you're not saved, may you be like this man that was on a journey. You're on a journey of life. And the journey of life has brought you to this place this evening. And I want to tell you that here you can find a Savior who'll never let you down, who'll never fail you, and who'll cleanse you and make you his and take you home to heaven to be with him for all eternity. May God bless his word. May God speak to your soul tonight. And if you'd like to talk to us or hear, don't go away before making it right and coming to the Savior and starting for glory and know that you're ready for heaven. May God bless his word. Amen. We're going to sing our closing.